Okay, welcome back. Hour number three already tonight, and the hate bill, just because Congress is in recess, the hate bill is still there, and we need to knock it down. You know the game. You've been following the story, most all of you, I'm sure. It has been attached to the military funding bill. It has nothing to do with military funding, but it has been put on by the sneaky, stealth, phony, corrupt Democrat liberal left onto a must-pass bill, so that's the only way they can get this bill through, if they get it through. And there are ways to stop it, still at this late hour. Reverend Ted Pike has been fighting for our freedom of speech, our First Amendment, for many, many years. And as you well know, Ted is a frequent guest on this program and continues to work around the clock, 7 days a week, to try to protect your constitutional rights to have free voice, free thought, and free will in this country. If you go to my website at Featured Stories and scroll down just a little bit, you'll find the Freedom of Speech box, otherwise known as the Ted Pike box. Look for the Constitution and then look for the stories. There is a brand new video that Ted has put out which explains how we can get to these phonies from Congress who are home for what they call a vacation, those who bother to come home at all. And if you were to click on that video at Rents.com in the Featured Story section, here's what you'll hear for the first couple of minutes. And Ted is with us, and I want to let you hear a little bit of the video. Ted, are you standing by the way?
Yes, I am. Thanks, Jeff.
Good. Well, let's let everyone listen to a little bit of this video and urge all of them to look at it and to pass it around as much as they can. Here we go.
Grassroots America is rising in rebellion against Democrat arrogance and unresponsiveness in Congress. Such rebellion is breaking out in town hall meetings as angry constituents tongue-lash Democrat members of Congress. Here, Senator Carl Levin, prestigious head of the Senate Armed Services Committee, flees before angry citizens chanting the Pledge of Allegiance.
You remember those words? You remember those words? Silent no more! Silent no more!
Constituents demonstrate against Democrat Congressman Tim Bishop. The police had to be called to escort Bishop to safety.
Stop spending our money!
Democrat Senator Claire McCaskill locked the door of her office and canceled a town hall meeting.
Well, we got down here about 11 o'clock to urge Senator McCaskill to vote against this abomination of a health care bill. Her staff has refused to talk to us. They haven't answered the door. That's why we're knocking. We've been knocking for well over a half hour. No response whatsoever. Thought she represented the entire state of Missouri, but apparently she doesn't. The blinds were up earlier, and some young man up there flipped us off with both hands. And they pulled the shades down after that. So not the kind of response you expect from a responsible senator.
Finally, McCaskill called the police, who dispersed angry voters. Some Democrats now plan to speak to constituents only through televised conference calls.
All right, we'll stop it right there. This is really despicable behavior. These are what's happening now. And I see a lot of the demonstrators, Ted, are probably old enough to have taken to the streets to protest the Vietnam War. And I think some of those folks are getting up out of their chairs and remembering what it's like to be an active American who is sick and tired of corruption that really knows no limits. And it's great to see there are young people there, too. But the last little clip on your newest video really tells the story. This McCaskill ought to be thrown out. No question. Zero question. And anyone who is afraid to meet with their constituents in person in a town hall meeting should also be thrown out. It's an amazing sight to see. I don't watch television, but thanks to your video and a few others, I've been able to see some of these town hall meetings. And these phonies, these dirtbags, are now running scared. And that's the only thing they understand. They don't understand logic. They don't understand the Constitution. They don't understand morality, but they do understand fear of losing their office.
And that's where our power is right now. As most of our listeners know, we had to suffer a grave defeat in the passage of the hate bill as late as 3 weeks ago with the Senate passing it and attaching it to the Arms Appropriations Bill. But I don't believe that we're done with this hate bill. I believe that the American people have the power and are welling up in massive protest here. It's directed primarily against the health care reform package. But what I'm doing, and this is my fifth broadcast I've done today, I'm calling people and talk show hosts, everybody, to begin to petition, not petition, but to demand from President Obama that he not sign the federal hate crimes bill when it comes before his desk in mid-September. I believe that what we're seeing here is the development of real political clout as America says no to the unresponsiveness, the callousness, the high-handedness, especially of these Democrats who pushed through the hate bill with tremendous arrogance and disdain for the people. And I believe already it could well be that people like McCaskill and others are seriously jeopardizing their possibilities of staying in the Senate maybe after the midterm elections, because these videos showing this despicable behavior are now watched by literally hundreds of, 300,000, 400,000 people are watching these videos on
right.
YouTube. And these senators and Democratic representatives are getting a very, very bad press, which could well have repercussions in the midterm election.
Well, it's about time. I mean, let's look back at the bailout bill, overwhelmingly opposed by the majority of Americans.
Yes.
Overwhelmingly passed by the criminals in Congress. We, in fact, as an electorate, if the elections are remotely honorable and honest anymore, returned to office all but 16 or 17 congressmen and women who voted for this outrageous theft they call the bailout bill. That was just the first installment, as we told them, and everybody who knew anything about it could tell what was coming. It's into the trillions and trillions of dollars now, of course. So what we have here is an awakening. I don't care what the issue is. It's a health
yes.
bill. That's good. I'll tell you, and you folks listening already know this, and I hope you inform as many as you possibly can, unless America stands up now, it's over. This is really our last chance.
Yes.
This awakening has got to be nurtured. It's got to catch fire. It's got to go, as they say, viral. Forgive the pun, but that's the name of the game. So, Ted, I hope this works. When people go to the town hall meetings, don't just talk about the health care bill. There's an overwhelming majority of Americans who are furious about that. Go in there and talk. And remember, the hate bill is not going to the usurper in chief as just the hate bill. That's not the name of it. It's going as an attachment to, what's the formal name of it?
Well, the Defense Authorization Bill.
Right.
It is going there probably fairly quickly, because when a bill is attached to the DOD bill, that's top priority to get that before the president's desk. And so what I'm calling audiences to do all over the country today is, the number one, come to truthtellers.org or to rents.com there in the free speech box, and you can link directly to this video. It's 7.5 minutes long, but it's a very lively encouragement, a challenge to us that we may well back down or delay the final approval in conference in September, the final mm-hmm. signing of the hate bill.
Right.
Yeah, if these Democrats really, really are impacted with these town halls and the anger, the actual electoral revenge of the people, it well could be that Obama could see the handwriting on the wall and realize that if he pushes this hate bill down the throats of America, turning us into a hate crimes bureaucracy, that it could have tremendous repercussions. Now, as I said earlier, it could well be that these town halls meetings have already possibly irreparably damaged people like McCaskill and others, with literally 400,000 or 500,000 people having watched her obscene behavior there. And if the Democrats lose 4 or 5 members, even that small, especially in the Senate, it could completely destroy the leverage of the Democrats to continue their Orwellian agenda of even more hate bills coming down the pike in the autumn. So I believe that we'll have real leverage here. We have the power to put fear into them. What I'm trying to do is to get this I'm not going to say a mob, but this rather unruly expression of American anger and patriotism focused on saving free speech.
All right, well, if we lose free speech, we've lost it. That's it.
Yes.
Hang on, be right back with Reverend Ted Pike and more in just a minute. Okay, and we're back with Ted Pike. Ted, I'm going to play another short segment from the video if I can. And this, of course, features your wife. Would you introduce her, please?
Yes, that's my wife, Lynn. She's been in quite a number of my videos over the past 20 years. And she's just delighted to come by my side and give spirit and courage to women, certainly in America, to stand by their men and stand up for the Republic.
Very good. All right, here's the next segment. By the way, the hate bill, well, listen up for yourself. I think some of you will be rather surprised at this.
On July 11th, the federal hate crimes bill was passed by Congress. Democrats disregarded the overwhelming objections of the American people. The hate bill violates three amendments to the Constitution.
The 14th Amendment. The hate bill grants special rights, services, and protections to federally protected groups such as homosexuals, Jews, Muslims, and Latinos. The 10th Amendment. It will unite federal and local law enforcement into a single police state system. The 1st Amendment. The hate bill will soon broaden into a speech crimes law for America, like Canada's, ending free speech.
In the weeks before passage of this Orwellian legislation, calls protesting the hate bill sometimes reached 50% of total calls to Senate offices. They exceeded calls about the Sotomayor confirmation and health care reform. Yet Democrats ignored the will of the people. They overwhelmingly passed the hate bill in both House and Senate. The hate bill is now headed for signature by the president in September.
All right, well, this, again, does not have to happen. We can stop it. I'm not sure what committee ramifications we still have to deal with yet. There's one more committee meeting on it, is that
well,
it?
There's the conference between the House and the Senate, and they'll be considering the hate bill, arms bill package. The both versions of both the arms bill and the hate bill are different in the House and the Senate.
Right.
But you see, if the president really, we the light a fire under him, put enough heat upon him, letting him know that this hate bill, especially along with the health care reform, is a red button issue with the American people. We realize that it'll strip all three of those amendments to the Constitution from our freedoms. We are not going to take it lightly. We are going to get revenge, certainly in midterms. There is a possibility if the protest, the anger is hot enough in the next 4 weeks before members of Congress come back, that he can give word to the Democratic contingent of the House and the Senate, and especially their conferees who come together to weld together a final version of these two bills. He can give the word to cool it, let it languish there, let it kind of die and wither on the vine if he wants to, and he can take the onus off himself for not fulfilling his promise to actually sign the hate bill. So power politics is what we're talking about here, not the power of backroom wheeling and dealing, but the frontal power of the American people.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that there are some big Tea Party tax protests coming up. There are, in fact, supposed to be a million members coming into the mall there in mid-September, protesting a number of these violations of the will of the people. By the way, I do have a flyer at truthtellers.org, a nice little one-page flyer. People can print that out. Again, it's basically distilling exactly what we're talking about here. Gives the phone number, for the president, as well as his fax line. People can copy that out, multiply it by the thousands at your local copy shop. Only costs you about a nickel a copy. But we need to, if you know of any town hall meetings in your area, load up with 200 or 300 at least of these flyers, pass them out, and let's get this movement directed now toward demanding the president not to put his signature on the hate bill. I should mention, I tried a number of times today to call the president's line, but it was jammed. I think the protests coming in over the health reform are pretty strong. So there is a fax number that is on that brochure. In fact, I might just give those numbers, if I might, right here.
Go right ahead.
In case people can't get to the internet. The toll-free number is 202-456-1111. Again, that toll-free number to President the White House comment line is 202-456-1111. And the fax number, which you're 100% guaranteed to get through if you send a fax, is 202-456-2461. Again, that fax number to the president, 202-456-2461. And I'm just suggesting this simple statement, either by phone or by fax. President Obama, we will never forgive or forget if you sign the freedom-destroying, pedophile-protecting hate bill. Again, we will never forgive or forget if you sign the freedom-destroying, pedophile-protecting hate bill.
When you say pedophile-protecting, a lot of people will say, wait a minute, Reverend Pike, there's no way Congress would pass something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, ho, ho, ho. When we come back from the break, I'll ask Ted if he'll explain how the bill does, in fact, protect pedophiles. We'll do that next. And I urge again all of you to go to the featured story section at Rents.com or truthtellers.org and look at the material, share the material. And if you're going to a town hall meeting, tell your congressman or woman, no hate bills. Be right back. Okay, and back with Ted Pike. Okay, Ted.
Yeah.
All right. What were we going to do next?
We're going to talk about pedophiles being protected under the hate bill.
That's the bigger issue. We'll talk about some other things in just a minute. But for those of you who laugh and say, no, come on, this is ridiculous. It's not ridiculous. It's a fact. Go ahead, Ted, please.
Yes, the hate bill, if you'll read the hate bill, especially the Senate version S-909, right out front, it promises to protect every American according to race, religion, and gender from violent hate crimes in the state. But that's a lie. That's an absolute falsehood. And Eric Holder, the Attorney General of the United States, basically said that in testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee about 2 months ago. But the hate bill is unambiguous that it's going to protect all kinds of homosexuals according to the pseudo-class sexual orientation. Now, under sexual orientation, the hate bill is very strict that it is not going to divide up this pseudo-class into good homosexuals versus bad homosexuals, meaning so-called well-behaved homosexuals versus pedophiles, those who are homosexuals and they rape little boys. And in fact, in the House Judiciary markup hearing about three months ago, Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin, who is a lesbian, was very adamant that she would reject the amendment by Steve King that would have a clear statement excluding pedophiles. She said, "Why, that would strip the bill. That would destroy and unravel the bill because it would basically split up this category into many, many different types of homosexuals, and that would destroy the whole coherence and momentum of the legislation." So this bill gives unambiguous protection, special federal protection, to all kinds of homosexuals, whether it's legal or not. And in fact, it recommends three levels higher punishment for anyone who accosts or intimidates a homosexual of any kind out of bias motivation. Now, what that means is that if the class of sexual orientation or homosexuality is given three levels higher punishment, that basically means that the federal government takes the some kind of wrong against a homosexual three times more seriously than the rest of the population. That means the federal government, the FBI with its forensic and investigating powers, the local DA, the local police, etc., will be required to come three times faster with three times the zeal in order to prosecute anyone who allegedly attacks a homosexual pedophile who may be attacking your child, attempting to rape your little boy. In fact, Louis Gohmert, Representative Louis Gohmert of Texas, mm-hmm. who was an appeals judge, was very outspoken in the judiciary markup, saying, well, this means that if a woman finds her little son or daughter being attacked by a homosexual pedophile, she hits him with her purse, and that homosexual and his friends claims that he was attacked out of bias motivation, a violent hate crime, that woman could spend 10 years in prison. So this is what we're talking about. There is no ambiguity. Homosexual pedophiles, until they are finally proven guilty in a court of law and the local level, will be given preferential federal treatment and services.
Do you believe it, folks? It's true. I hope you do believe it. So yes, the Obama health care is outrageous, and the cry from the public is warranted, but ultimately, what's more important, health care or your First Amendment freedom of speech? I would submit that the Constitution stands above all.
Yes.
And if we don't protect this, I mean, these are not Americans. They are not people by my measurement. Those who support this kind of thing and those who passed it. I don't know who they are. I have an idea who they're working for or are being blackmailed by or bribed by or intimidated by or bankrolled by. I have a pretty good idea of how many of them are controlled. But that doesn't make them Americans. Not in my book.
No. Well, I believe that the people are revealing this week, this month, that we do have clout. We do have the power to coerce and to even intimidate members, Democratic members of the House and the Senate, and all the way to the presidency. We have a power to shout out with a resounding
no more will we
support and respond and remain silent before those who are so unresponsive, who are basically in a definite conspiracy to take away these great amendments to the Constitution of the United States. In my latest e-alert, I point out that in 1917, Jacob Schiff, who was a high-ranking insider in B'nai B'rith International, the Jewish supremacist organization that is behind hate laws internationally, as a B'nai B'rith financier, he financed the Bolshevik Revolution along with the Rothschilds in England, the Warburgs in Germany, and so on. And Jewish revolutionaries went in and subverted the army and the navy and the peasant population. They overthrew the Romanov dynasty in Russia. Well, here we have now, almost a century later, we have ADL, the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, basically attempting to totally conquer the government of the United States in the way they conquered the government in Russia in 1917, setting up their own hate crimes Gestapo, a government outside of the will of the people, in mockery of the will of the people. It's really almost a second Bolshevik Revolution of these on different terms. There's not the bullets and the barricades and so on, but there is a very definite attempt, an arrogant attempt in the Congress of the United States through the Democrats to overwhelm all opposition and basically establish a dictatorial government in the United States. And it is the healthiest possible thing, I feel, right now for these people, even in rude language, even in abrupt and discourteous language, to be shouting no on the town hall level. And I believe we need to piggyback on that, direct it not just to health care reform, which could be resolved in a few months, but rather to these broad issues and specifically the hate crimes issue. Because I mentioned in my latest e-alert that the free speech is basically the beating heart of freedom. If a person has a heart attack, the doctors have one great priority, and that is to keep that heart beating. And our First Amendment rights are the beating heart of our freedoms and of our republic. If we lose that, we lose all the other rights. So it's a top priority.
Right.
Come to Rents.com or Truth Tellers. Watch the video. Print out hundreds and hundreds of this good, snappy, illustrated a flyer I have. Distribute them at town hall meetings. Get the message out as widely as you can.
Well, we will, and hopefully all these towers will not suspend their town hall meetings under the guise of personal safety and just have video meetings. Okay, we're back, and let's listen to just a little bit more of the video that Ted Pike has put together at truthtellers.org. You can see it, of course, in the free speech box under featured stories at rents.com. And take a look at it, share it, and by all means, send those flyers around. Even if you do it electronically, send them around. Here's just a little bit more.
Of all issues that concern us this summer, we must concentrate on saving free speech. Only if we defeat the hate bill will we have freedom to debate all other issues. Throughout the summer and early fall, everyone who has participated in a Tea Party tax protest, health care reform protest, or simply cares about the fate of our nation should bombard President Obama's White House comment line with this message. President Obama, we will never forgive or forget if you sign the freedom-stealing, pedophile-protecting hate bill. Call 1-202-456-1111. Fax 1-202-456-2461. We are not begging the president. We are threatening that if he signs the hate bill, we will make sure Democrats are defeated in the upcoming midterm elections. We will also make sure Obama's political career ends 3 years from now.
In the previous Congress, Democrats also passed the hate bill as an amendment to the Defense Appropriations Bill. Yet, as a result of discord in Democrat ranks, Democrat leaders stripped off the hate bill, chilling it. The same can happen now if overwhelming pressure is put on Democrats and the president.
Even if we do not succeed in persuading Obama to change his mind, massive protest of the hate bill makes it much harder to enforce. It also makes it more difficult for Democrats to pass similar hate crimes bills scheduled to move forward in September. The least that your daily call to the White House will do is slow the Democrat agenda of taking away free speech in America.
But it may keep alive the beating heart of freedom, our First Amendment right to free speech.
All right, let's, Ted, give the numbers again, please.
Yes, the toll-free number to the president's comment line is 202-456-1111.
That's one more, a little bit louder, if you would.
Okay. 202-456-1111. That's 202-456-1111. And the fax line is 202-456-2461. That's 202-456-2461. And again, I may remind you that probably going to find the phone lines probably clogged this week, and find a fax machine, get that off, and repeatedly send the faxes throughout the month.
Okay, this is this is it. This is the time. And you made something quite clear a long time ago, and we know this. Those communist Zionists, enemies of freedom, are not going to stop. We have to let them know that no matter how many times they come to the door, we're not going to open it. It's got to stay closed. What other bills are lurking in the Congress that are similar to this one? Do you have any numbers?
Well, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act was introduced just a few days ago by the Senator Merkley of Oregon, and that's the ADL's workplace hate law, making it a federal hate crime to dismiss a homosexual employee because he's homosexual or not hire him because he's homosexual. It also would require churches to incorporate homosexuals in non-clerical, clerical positions in church schools, the summer camps, the janitors, and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely outrageous. Then there's the ADL's cyberbullying bill, which will make it a federal offense punishable by 2 years in prison to even attempt to harass or cyberbully anybody through your speech over the internet, and you don't even have to be successful.
What does that mean? What does bullying mean? Who's to decide that?
Yeah, and you don't even have to be successful in intimidating somebody. All you have to do is to intend, have the thought to do that, and you can be sent away for 2 years. Those two bills are coming through. More of them, the Department of Peace bill would set up a huge $10 billion a year a federal bureaucracy and educational program,
mm-hmm,
promoting homosexuality from kindergarten level up through graduate school. So it's just absolutely obscene, unbelievable. One of the reasons I think this is a pivotal time in history is because if we don't put massive pressure to hold back this tidal wave of obscene, freedom-stealing legislation, it's going to come crashing through. And we've got to let those Democrats know that they are not impervious. They are not safe from the wrath and the revenge of the American people.
I often stand back and watch how special interest groups use homosexuality to hide behind. They're pushing and advertising and constantly mentioning that we've got to protect the rights of these poor minority groups, when in reality they're really only concerned with themselves. That this is clever stuff, it's old hat to you, and to most of you listening, you understand. But this is an issue to subjugate Americans under the thumb of world Zionism.
Yes.
That's really what it's about. And world Zionism can be linked directly to world communism. Communism is not dead at all. All you have to do is go back and read the 1963 House, in the Congressional Record. I've got it on my website, the goals of communism. I mean, this is in 63, and how many of those have already been achieved? This is not a joke. It doesn't matter what label you tag on it. It's domination, cradle to grave. It's slavery is what it is. And when you lose your freedom of speech, you're a slave.
Right. Well, communism was originated by Jewish radicals clear back in the middle of the 19th century. Moses Hess, Karl Marx, etc.
Right.
The long-term goal is to use communism to break down capitalism, break down Christian civilization, so this Zionist Judaic New World Order can overlay on top of it.
That's exactly what they're doing.
Whether it's Bolshevism, whether it's whatever, cultural Marxism, it continues to morph throughout the ages, but the central goal of world domination is there, and as a Christian, I understand that to be the Antichrist of the Jews, the false Messiah, but whatever you want to call it, it is part of their global agenda, and we have to stand squarely in defiance, blocking it at this pivotal moment in history.
Well, have you noticed the Israelis have been very quietly working intensely, inserting their spheres of influence and tentacles into India, 1.2 billion people. And today, the story I ran this morning, the Indian government has decriminalized all forms of homosexuality.
Yeah.
So there you go. It's the same
platform
again.
Israel is interested in extending its interests and its dominance, not just in Afghanistan, not even in Iran, but as far as Pakistan and India, to dominate the whole Eurasian subcontinent.
Right. No, there's no question. And there's the old plank again. And one of the communist planks that is in that congressional record piece is the breakdown of the moral fiber of this country, or any country that is targeted. And that's what they're
right.
doing.
Well, I think people have to realize that hate laws are here to stay. They are contrived by these evil ADL world supremacist Jews for one purpose, that is to break down free speech, not just for Christians, not just for conservatives, but for all people who think for themselves, who are politically incorrect. And we have to continue to get educated. We need to continue to fight. As Winston Churchill said, never, never, never give up. And that's why I'm encouraged by the very good response I'm getting from both listeners and talk show hosts to this new program, our new video, our new brochure, is that it keeps the pot boiling, it keeps us fighting, it keeps us in resistance. And I believe it's really very fatal now to follow people like James Dobson and others and say we all have to give up and wait for a new cycle, a new political cycle to come around. Perhaps years from now,
we need to keep fighting.
And whether we persuade President Obama or not is almost secondary. Main thing is keep the temperature high, keep the pressure on, join with the town hall rabble or the Peasants Rebellion, whatever you want to call it. Inarticulate as it might be, nevertheless, it's a very, very healthy sign in the American political scene.
Couldn't agree more, Ted. Thanks. So much for everything you do. I don't know how you do it. You're a great patriot, a great American, and a great human being fighting for all of us, and we thank you.
Well, I couldn't do it without you, Jeff.
I'm happy to be here. Talk soon, Ted.
Bye now.
Good night. Reverend Ted Pike. Whether you're a Christian, an atheist, and that doesn't matter. The issues are freedom. Universally gifted, God-given freedoms of speech, of thought. Those cannot be taken. We can't allow it. And if we do, then we deserve what we get. All right. Again, lots to think about. Thanks for being here tonight. We'll be right back with you tomorrow night. Tim Refat will be here from England. Jim Mars will be here and more as we continue to try to bring you as broad a spectrum as we can of news and information that you will not see or hear in controlled mainstream media.